The American healthcare system is in crisis, with skyrocketing costs and ineffective treatments that often prolong suffering rather than heal. Millions endure mysterious conditions like fibromyalgia, while specialists remain baffled about their true causes. What if the answer lies not in more advanced imaging or stronger medications, but in understanding the profound connection between mind and body? This is the revolutionary premise of Dr. John Sarno's work on psychosomatic medicine, which has attracted devotees from Howard Stern to Senator Tom Harkin and helped thousands overcome debilitating pain when conventional treatments failed. Sarno's approach represents a paradigm shift in understanding chronic pain, not as a structural problem requiring physical intervention, but as a psychological process with physical manifestations. Despite skepticism from the medical establishment, his success rate speaks volumes. Approximately 70% of patients achieve good to excellent results through education alone. In The Divided Mind, Sarno presents his most comprehensive exploration of how unconscious emotions create very real physical symptoms, challenging us to reconsider everything we thought we knew about pain. Psychosomatic medicine isn't about imaginary illnesses or mind over matter. It's about physical disorders with origins in unconscious emotions. The term psychosomatic literally means mind-body, recognizing that the two cannot be separated. Hundreds of disorders have been identified as psychosomatic, ranging from back pain to certain forms of cancer, yet this approach remains virtually unknown in today's medical community. This disconnect between mind and body in modern medicine has led to countless misdiagnoses and ineffective treatments. Consider John R., a successful professional whose life was derailed by mysterious back pain. Despite multiple treatments and specialists, including physical therapy, chiropractic adjustments, and various pain medications, his symptoms only worsened, expanding to include sciatica, migraines, and acid reflux. Within a month of understanding the mind-body connection and addressing his underlying emotional stress, his pain disappeared without drugs or procedures. His case exemplifies thousands of similar stories where conventional medical approaches failed to recognize the psychological roots of physical symptoms. Unlike hysterical disorders, where symptoms occur without physical changes, psychosomatic disorders involve actual physical alterations in the body. In tension myositis syndrome, Sarno's term for many pain disorders, the brain reduces blood flow to specific body parts, causing mild oxygen deprivation that results in pain. This process operates through the autonomic nervous system, the involuntary system controlling circulation, digestion, and other automatic functions. The reduction in blood flow can be measured and documented, proving these symptoms aren't imaginary, but rather physiologically real manifestations of emotional processes. The brain can target muscles in the neck, shoulders, or back, any spinal or peripheral nerve, or any tendon, meaning symptoms can appear virtually anywhere in the body. The nature of the pain varies depending on whether muscle, nerve, or tendon is involved. Muscle pain tends to be dull and aching, nerve pain sharp and burning, and tendon pain acute and movement-specific. Patients' rapid recovery with appropriate treatment suggests these tissues aren't permanently damaged, just temporarily dysfunctional. Many patients report complete resolution of symptoms within weeks or even days of beginning appropriate treatment. What makes this understanding revolutionary is recognizing that these physical symptoms serve a psychological purpose. They distract attention from threatening unconscious emotions. The unconscious mind creates these symptoms not to harm, but to protect, keeping painful emotions repressed. This protective mechanism often develops in response to everyday stresses, perfectionism, childhood experiences, or repressed anger. Common triggers include work pressure, relationship conflicts, or financial stress, situations where expressing emotions might feel threatening or inappropriate. The physical pain effectively diverts attention from these emotional challenges, creating a powerful distraction that can consume a person's daily life and energy. The implications of this understanding extend far beyond pain management. It suggests a new paradigm for treating various conditions traditionally viewed as purely physical, from fibromyalgia to certain digestive disorders. By acknowledging the role of unconscious emotions in physical health, we open new avenues for treatment that address both body and mind simultaneously. The medical profession has misdiagnosed three major mind-body disorders as purely physical conditions, creating modern epidemics that devastate millions while generating enormous healthcare costs. Chronic pain has reached epidemic proportions since the late 1960s due to medicine's stubborn resistance to consider mind-body disorders. The medical establishment wrongly attributes persistent pain to structural abnormalities and secondary gain, an unconscious desire for benefits like sympathy or avoiding responsibilities. In reality, TMS serves primary gain by preventing conscious awareness of unconscious feelings like rage. Medicine has violated its fundamental principle to do no harm by misdiagnosing the cause, guaranteeing symptom persistence, and introducing expensive, ineffective treatments like spinal fusion that burden healthcare systems without evidence of efficacy. Fibromyalgia, adopted by rheumatologists in the early 1980s, is actually a severe form of TMS. Patients typically suffer pain throughout the body, along with other mind-body disorders like headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, anxiety, and sleep disturbances. The American College of Rheumatology created diagnostic criteria requiring pain in 11 of 18 specific locations, which effectively formalized the condition without explaining its cause. Studies confirming reduced oxygen levels in patients' muscles support the TMS hypothesis, but this explanation remains rejected by mainstream medicine. By 2000, approximately 6 million Americans, mostly women, suffered from this disorder. Carpal tunnel syndrome became fashionable in the 1980s alongside the growth of the computer industry. While symptoms result from median nerve dysfunction at the wrist, the cause is likely local ischemia, reduced blood flow, rather than nerve compression. The belief that CTS results from repetitive keyboard work fueled its epidemic spread as a repetitive stress injury, despite the fact that millions who used typewriters throughout the 20th century never developed this condition. Beyond these three major epidemics, numerous other disorders operate through the same autonomic peptide system, sharing the same psychological purpose and physical mechanisms. These include gastrointestinal disorders, tension and migraine headaches, genitourinary syndromes, and conditions like tinnitus and vertigo. Psychosomatic symptoms serve as a defense mechanism against unconscious emotional phenomena, particularly rage. This rage accumulates over many years and is kept repressed because the brain's decision maker determines that expressing it would be destructive. The symptoms distract attention from these dangerous emotions by focusing on physical pain or discomfort. Where does this unconscious rage come from? Three major sources feed this emotional reservoir. First, childhood experiences create a foundation of unconscious rage. While many patients initially describe their childhoods as normal or fine, deeper questioning often reveals subtler forms of emotional neglect. Previous generations of parents, particularly fathers, often failed to provide the warmth and acceptance children need, focusing instead on discipline and material provision. These childhood emotional deficits create permanent unconscious sadness, hurt, and anger that fuel psychosomatic symptoms later in life. Second, self-imposed pressures to be perfect and good generate significant internal tension. Feelings of inferiority, often rooted in childhood experiences, drive people to perfectionism as they unconsciously try to prove their worth. Freud noted that the transition from childhood to adulthood creates a narcissistic scar, contributing to feelings of inferiority. The resulting drive toward perfection creates internal pressure that generates unconscious rage. Third, external life pressures from work, family, finances, illness, aging, and mortality create both conscious and unconscious reactions. Someone may consciously provide care willingly to an elderly parent while unconsciously harboring anger and resentment. Similarly, employers striving to be nice to employees may develop back pain from the unconscious burden. Even aging and death, though consciously rationalized as inevitable, provoke intense narcissistic rage in what Sarno calls the child primitive who cannot accept these ultimate insults. Many people struggle to conceptualize unconscious rage, finding it difficult to believe powerful emotions could exist without their awareness. We primarily acknowledge only what we consciously feel. Patients with psychosomatic symptoms must learn to imagine these unconscious feelings as volcanic in intensity, powerful enough to potentially devastate their lives if not contained. One of the most telling patterns in psychosomatic disorders is what Sarno calls the symptom imperative. When one symptom is successfully treated without addressing the underlying psychological causes, new symptoms emerge elsewhere in the body. This pattern explains why patients often develop a cascade of seemingly unrelated conditions over time, moving from back pain to digestive issues to headaches in an endless cycle of symptomatic expression. The case of Mr. W. demonstrates this mechanism perfectly. After successfully controlling his violent temper through psychotherapy, he developed severe back and leg pain, showing how the unconscious rage needed expression when his conscious safety valve was removed. Similarly, another patient developed chronic neck pain after successfully treating her anxiety with medication, while a third saw his gastrointestinal symptoms emerge only after physical therapy resolved his lower back issues. Sarno strongly criticizes pain management clinics for treating chronic pain as a separate disorder based on structural abnormalities rather than recognizing the psychological origins. He points to numerous studies showing that MRI-detected abnormalities often exist in pain-free individuals, suggesting these structural variations aren't the true cause of pain. He argues that any benefits from their treatments are merely temporary placebo effects, as the symptom imperative will generate new symptoms if the underlying psychological causes aren't addressed. This explains why patients often experience initial relief from treatments like injections or physical therapy, only to have their pain return or relocate. The brain employs sophisticated deception to maintain the psychosomatic process, initiating symptoms during benign physical activities to make patients believe the physical act caused the pain. For instance, a patient might experience sudden back pain while gardening, leading them to blame the activity rather than recognize the emotional trigger that occurred earlier that day. The brain may also continue pain after legitimate injuries have healed or strategically locate pain near known abnormalities like bulging discs to reinforce physical explanations. These patterns develop through conditioning. Patients experience symptoms they've been conditioned to expect, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy of pain. This symptom imperative explains why treating each pain location separately fails to provide lasting relief. The medical system's fragmented body parts approach, where specialists treat each symptom independently, makes patients feel they're physically falling apart when in reality they have one condition, TMS, manifesting in different locations. A patient might see a rheumatologist for fibromyalgia, a gastroenterologist for IBS, and an orthopedist for back pain, never realizing these conditions share a common psychological root. Understanding this pattern proves liberating for patients who've been told they have multiple unrelated conditions. The knowledge that their back, neck, arms, and legs are structurally normal counters the negative conditioning from the medical establishment and offers hope for comprehensive recovery. This insight helps patients break free from the cycle of endless treatments and specialist visits, allowing them to focus on addressing the underlying emotional factors driving their symptoms. Sarno's most revolutionary discovery was that knowledge itself could be curative. He found that patients needed to understand the anatomy, physiology, and psychology of TMS and how these interrelated. Even practicing psychoanalysts with deep self-knowledge developed TMS when they lacked understanding of the syndrome itself. Beyond understanding, patients must fully accept the psychosomatic nature of their condition. As one patient insightfully noted, denial of the syndrome is part of the syndrome. The psyche creates both pain and doubt to maintain the process. Sarno's treatment program begins with a consultation that includes taking a detailed history, conducting a physical examination, and discussing how the diagnosis applies to the patient. The physical examination serves two crucial purposes: establishing the doctor's credibility to address a physical disorder, and providing an opportunity to educate the patient about their condition. The cornerstone of treatment is a 2-hour lecture bringing together patients with various TMS symptom complexes. Its therapeutic power comes from the information transmitted, often bringing rapid pain relief. Patients must learn two critical concepts. They must reject physical structural explanations for their pain and instead attribute it to benign altered physiology, TMS, and recognize that pain is a reaction to psychological states that are universal and normal. After the lecture, patients receive a structured daily study program designed to reinforce understanding of TMS and break the pain cycle. The program emphasizes that patients must fully accept TMS as the sole cause of their symptoms, regardless of previous diagnoses or imaging results. Patients are instructed to read Sarno's books thoroughly, particularly reviewing the psychology and treatment chapters daily. They must set aside dedicated time to review materials and create a comprehensive list of all potential sources of unconscious emotions, focusing on 4 key areas: childhood-generated feelings, personality traits, perfectionism, self-criticism, achievement orientation, life pressures, and existential concerns, aging, mortality. The program works by communicating to the unconscious mind that these feelings are recognized, eliminating the need for pain as a distraction. Patients are instructed to redirect attention from pain to psychological factors and gradually resume physical activities they've been avoiding, reinforcing the belief in their body's normality. While knowledge demonstrably cures psychosomatic disorders, the exact mechanism remains somewhat mysterious. The educational process doesn't eliminate rage or change repressed feelings, yet thousands have become pain-free simply by reading Sarno's books or completing his program without psychotherapy. Sarno theorizes that while unconscious rage cannot break through into consciousness from below, the educational process allows patients to intellectually breach the barrier from above. By acknowledging, "I know what's down there, even though I can't see it," patients effectively signal to their unconscious mind that the cover has been blown on this covert operation, making the pain unnecessary. Approximately 20% of patients require psychotherapy to recover. These are cases where the internal emotional drivers are too strong to respond to simple recognition. Many patients deny having rage toward parents or are unable to access feelings like sadness, disappointment, or abandonment. The psychotherapy required must be dynamically, analytically, oriented to recognize and address these deep-seated issues. Sarno's colleague, Arlene Feinblatt, pioneered psychotherapy specifically for psychosomatic disorders, developing appropriate therapeutic approaches when no existing literature or experience existed in the field of musculoskeletal pain of psychosomatic origin. Since psychosomatic disorders stem from unconscious processes and conflicts, the program focuses on short-term dynamic psychotherapy to address underlying stress and emotional conflict. The approach examines psychological factors' effects on the body, connecting patients' emotions with their physical reactions. Whether in group or individual settings, therapists help patients understand their defensive structures, shielding them from unconscious rage while increasing overall emotional awareness. Treatment is tightly focused, with therapists constantly challenging inappropriate behaviors, like smiling when discussing painful topics. Therapists confront all attempts at denial or rationalization, helping patients recognize when they're avoiding rather than experiencing emotional truth. When patients introduce physical symptoms into discussion, therapists immediately redirect to psychological aspects of the patient's life surrounding symptom onset. The therapeutic approach is deliberately challenging, causing initial anxiety but often leading to faster symptom resolution. Successful treatment typically involves symptom fluctuation rather than sudden cessation, reflecting cycles of catharsis and resistance. Symptom migration is considered a favorable sign, indicating psychological rather than disease-based origins. Consider Abner's case. This 35-year-old sought treatment after orthopedists recommended surgery for a herniated disc. Despite being openly angry and confrontational in daily life, Abner discovered through therapy that he actually repressed significant anger toward his parents. His mother had neglected his emotional needs while caring for his grandmother, and his narcissistic father demanded attention rather than giving it. Abner realized he feared his own rage would destroy his parents or lead to abandonment, so his pain served as both distraction and protection. After successful treatment, he remained pain-free for 5 years until a family crisis triggered a recurrence. Through renewed therapy, he recognized how his pain protected him from expressing potentially destructive anger toward his father during this crisis and how his self-deprecation preserved his dependent relationship. As Abner increased his tolerance for his angry and dependent feelings, his pain subsided again. The principles of psychosomatic medicine extend far beyond back pain, encompassing numerous chronic conditions previously considered purely physical in nature. Dr. Samuel Mann's groundbreaking work on hypertension demonstrates how repressed emotions, not conscious stress, drive certain forms of high blood pressure. While felt emotions temporarily raise blood pressure through normal physiological responses, repressed emotions create persistent sympathetic nervous system stimulation, leading to sustained hypertension. This chronic activation can persist for years, often without the patient's awareness of its emotional origins. Mann identifies several key indicators that hypertension may be psychologically linked. Personal history factors like childhood trauma, especially when patients insist it has no lingering effects, early loss of a parent, unresolved grief, or major life transitions. Particularly telling is an unusually even-keeled personality that never gets down, what Mann terms the nice guy syndrome. These individuals often pride themselves on their emotional control while unconsciously suppressing significant emotional material. The hypertension pattern itself provides distinctive clues. Severe readings exceeding 180 over 110, resistance to multiple standard treatments, sudden unexplained onset, or paroxysmal episodes with dramatic symptoms that come out of the blue. Many patients report their blood pressure spikes coincide with specific situations or relationships, though they may not consciously feel stressed. Identifying psychologically linked hypertension is crucial because the underlying mechanisms differ fundamentally from routine cases, requiring tailored treatment approaches. Standard hypertension medications target blood volume and the renin-angiotensin system, but not the sympathetic nervous system, SNS. For psychologically linked hypertension, mediated by the SNS, alpha and beta receptor blockers are more effective. Some patients require a combination approach, using both traditional and SNS-focused medications while working through emotional awareness. The recognition of repressed emotions provides the first valid explanation and successful treatment approach for paroxysmal hypertension, a condition that has long puzzled medical professionals. Some patients experience complete resolution through emotional awareness work, including journaling, psychotherapy, or mindfulness practices. Others benefit from medication approaches that address the neurological pathways influenced by repressed emotions, often requiring lower doses once emotional factors are addressed. Beyond hypertension, physicians practicing mind-body medicine have successfully treated a wide array of conditions previously considered purely physical. These include fibromyalgia, carpal tunnel syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, and certain types of arthritis. Dr. Mark Sofer, a family physician with decades of experience, has applied this approach across a wide spectrum of disorders, noting that virtually all his patients have experienced psychologically induced symptoms at some point. Success stories include cases of chronic pain resolving after addressing underlying emotional conflicts, and autoimmune conditions improving when patients process repressed trauma or anger. The implications of these findings suggest a paradigm shift in how we approach chronic conditions, recognizing that the division between physical and emotional ailments may be more fluid than previously thought. This understanding opens new treatment possibilities for conditions that have traditionally responded poorly to conventional medical approaches. Despite remarkable clinical success in treating various pain disorders, mind-body medicine remains largely unaccepted in mainstream healthcare. Studies consistently show that only 10 to 20% of people with psychosomatic disorders can accept their emotional origin, with many responding with outright hostility to the suggestion. This resistance persists even when presented with compelling evidence of successful treatment outcomes. The stigma surrounding psychosomatic diagnoses creates significant barriers to acceptance. Common dismissive terms like weird, crazy, and nuts create powerful negative associations, while harmful phrases like it's all in your mind suggest the symptoms aren't real when they absolutely are. These symptoms manifest as genuine physical pain and dysfunction, often more severe than those with clear structural causes. Many patients feel deep shame about acknowledging psychological components, preferring to blame external stress rather than confronting internal psychological processes. This leads patients to gravitate toward quick-fix treatments, injections, medications, physical manipulations, even invasive surgery, a pattern reinforced by medical professionals who similarly dismiss or misunderstand psychosomatic concepts. Modern medicine's intense focus on laboratory findings and imaging studies has particularly failed with pain disorders by systematically ignoring emotional factors. While neuroscience research produces fascinating insights about brain structure and function, it offers surprisingly little practical help for clinical treatment of emotionally driven disorders. When treating patients suffering from pain rooted in buried rage or repressed emotions, understanding which brain nuclei are involved proves far less useful than helping them understand and process the sources of their emotional distress. Clinical experience consistently shows that this psychological understanding and awareness typically cures the condition more effectively than any physical intervention. Most physicians, despite being deeply caring individuals, find themselves unable to make psychosomatic diagnoses due to the current medical climate emphasizing rapid diagnoses, measurable metrics, and standardized treatments. The consequences have been catastrophic, spawning major pain epidemics in conditions like back pain, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue syndrome. These epidemics have created entire industries around treating these disorders with conventional approaches, making systemic change unlikely in the near future due to entrenched financial interests and institutional resistance. Yet there remains hope for transformation. As more physicians like those contributing to this book successfully apply these principles, and as more patients experience profound relief through this treatment approach, the medical establishment will be forced to take notice. Given our expanding understanding of the brain's remarkable complexity and its intimate connection to every bodily system, it seems increasingly short-sighted to discount its role in generating and maintaining physical symptoms. Sarno's groundbreaking work represents a fundamental challenge to modern medicine, a powerful call to recognize that many common disorders stem not from structural abnormalities, but from the complex interplay between our conscious and unconscious minds. By understanding and addressing this divided mind, we can find lasting relief from conditions that have stubbornly resisted conventional treatment approaches for decades. This paradigm shift offers hope for millions suffering from chronic pain and related disorders who have found little help in traditional medical approaches.